Okay, we're going to turn to the Word of God and to John's Gospel, chapter 14. We'll read from verse 16, John 14 and verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away, and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you, before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Amen. Thank the Lord again for this reading of his word. Well, the words which occur on this day, August the 7th, are these, and written in this way. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. If ye, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Verily, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Ye have not, because ye ask not. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. They rebelled, and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. Amen. Those verses come from John 14, 26, John 4, 10, Luke 11, 13, and so on. But we'll see them as we come to them in our thoughts tonight. Let's just ask the Lord's help. Now, Father, we commit the consideration of thy word to thee, and we pray, Lord, that thou wilt minister to us by it. And we thank thee, Lord, that it is through thy word that thou dost speak unto us, and that the revelations which thou hast for us come by that word which thou hast written, and which we have received into our hands. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt give us help in attention, and help in retention, that we might remember the words that thou hast spoken, and we might be encouraged and strengthened in knowing that thou art a God who changeth not. Lord, bless us then, we pray thee. Continue with us now. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Okay, so I want to take the verses in 3 points, as we usually do. First of all, the comfortable gift. Secondly, the companion guide. And finally, the consistent grace. The comfortable gift. Well, the comfortable gift is obviously the gift which the Lord gives to us. And we find that in this chapter, John 14, verse 26. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. And again, we could use the verse from 16, verse 16, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And the word Comforter, you probably know, is the word parakletos, a paraclete, which is one who draws alongside. And so he is a companion of us, and we've used that word a little later on. But he is a companion. He is one who stands alongside us. He can be a paraclete, can be a companion in a number of different ways. In John, 1 John 1, he is there spoken of as our advocate, and that uses the same word, a paraclete. So an advocate, of course, is like a lawyer who stands at your side and pleads your case for you before the court and before the judge. Someone who is versed in law, knows how to put an argument, hopefully, and one which is compelling to get you off or to vindicate you one way or the other. And so that is a paraclete. But then also a paraclete can be someone who helps you in anything that you do. It is someone who can encourage you. So sometimes you might see people running and someone on a bike next to them, egging them on, telling them that they're a couple of seconds off whatever speed they're trying to attain and to run a little bit farther. Or there might be someone in the gym just egging you on to do one last arm curl or one more bench press. And so there we have someone also who is a strengthener. And of course the verse here uses the word a comforter, and someone who is with us in times of trouble, of course, is a comfort. And this very often we would like to have someone with us in difficult times. We might be going to a hospital appointment, we might like somebody with us there, we might be fearing bad news, we might like somebody with us there, and all kinds of different situations. Someone who is a comfort to us and can strengthen us. And so when we think about the Holy Ghost, that is what the Lord Jesus is speaking of here, because he is saying, I'm leaving. I'm going to my Father, but when I go, I will send another Comforter. And it's interesting he uses that terminology, another Comforter, because that also tells us something about the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he also is a Comforter, because if we have another Comforter, then he must be a Comforter too. So he's saying that the Holy Ghost who comes will be like him, and all the strength which he had given to the disciples, the advice which he had given to the disciples, the protections he had given to the disciples, all of those things the other Comforter also would give. And he also says, of course, in verse 24, I just read it, so it must be here somewhere. Yeah, verse 14 is the verse. That's why I can't see it. No, there it is. Yes, if ye shall... No, that's not the right verse. John 16, that's why I can't see it. John 16, verse 14. It says there, he shall glorify me, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. And you see there in the immediately preceding verse, it says, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And the Lord Jesus says something similar to that, that the word which he speaks is not his, but it is the Father's which sent me. There in chapter 14, verse 24. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. So what he is actually saying is that the Father speaks by me. It is the word which I have to give. And the Spirit who comes will also be speaking the word which I have to give. So it will be the same word. He is not just another comforter, which is similar and takes on a different form, but he is a comforter who is exactly like me and will be a strength to you just as I am. And in fact, we can see that by the fact that the Lord Jesus also says that we will come to him. In verse 23 there, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. So You know, all of the Godhead, the Trinity, are represented in the Comforter who abides in us. We are strengthened in all ways by him. So there is this comfortable gift. Comfortable because, well, he comforts us. And we speak about furniture being comfortable, but it's because it gives us comfort. And so a person can be comfortable also. They are able to comfort us, and that is the gift which the Father gives to us. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. So here we have then a revealing description of the Comforter. Secondly, the refreshing draught. John 4 and verse 10 is the next of the verses which are given in the Daily Light. John 4 and verse 10. It's the woman of Samaria, and we read there, Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Living water. Well, what is the living water? The living water is the Spirit of God, who springs up in us and flows forth. And I have called this point the refreshing draught, because the water is very important to us, of course, and sometimes we don't drink enough of it. We're told we're supposed to drink a certain amount every day. It keeps our bodies fit and healthy. Sometimes we substitute other things, sugary drinks, perhaps, or other things we substitute for water, but water is very important. My mum and dad used to call it Adam's ale. I suspect it's still called that today by some. That's what was given, and that was what they drank. And of course, how important that is. But the Lord is saying here, I'm asking you for water from a well. I'm just asking for physical water, but I am able to give spiritual water. And that refreshment, that maintenance of our body is so very important. And of course, fresh water. And that's what living water means. Of course, it means flowing water. It's not the water from a cistern or some kind of a receptacle from which we draw, but it is moving water. It is water which is coming from the spring. And we know that what we get from the Lord is coming from an incessant spring. It is springing forth in our hearts. It is springing forth from God. It is the source of our life, both physically and spiritually. It is a refreshing draught, and we need that continually, because we need the draught of heaven. We need the drink of heaven so that we might be maintained. And the Lord has given that to us in the Spirit of God so that we might be maintained in this dry and thirsty land. I remark and wonder at the different statements of Scripture. But when it talks about the dry and thirsty land, and how that the psalmist seeks after God, seeks after the water in the dry and thirsty land. You know, we are in a dry and thirsty land. There's nothing for the Spirit in this land. There's nothing for the Spirit to keep us alive even in the world. And we need to draw from heaven's streams. We need to draw from the Lord in order to maintain life. And the Father does that. Thirdly, then, under that comfortable gift, a ready deployment. Three verses this time. First of all, Luke chapter 11. Luke 11 and verse 13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? A verse springs to mind from Hebrews and chapter 12, where it speaks about chastisement. And it tells us there in verse 9, Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, just the thought which is coming from that is the fact that in the world, well, we give good gifts to our children, but sometimes not for their benefit particularly. We might Certainly fathers, I think, are very often guilty of buying toys for their children that they want to play with. So we might buy Lego sets, mightn't we, Ben, for our children. Not that yours is old enough for a Lego set quite yet, but because we'll enjoy making it with them. And I remember that John always used to like to buy me presents that he could use himself as well, because that made it worth having. But we can do that, can't we? But the Father, when he gives to us, he gives us those things which are for our benefit. And so when we consider this, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him, because he is giving it for our benefit and our benefit alone. He is upholding us. He is ministering unto us. And so here we have this ready deployment of the gift. He is ready to give us the whole time. Indeed, when we come to him in salvation, the Spirit of God dwells in us. But there is something more, isn't there? There's more of an awareness of the Spirit's presence and the power of the Spirit. There is a kind of, if I can use the terminology, a maintenance level of the Spirit of God. If we are born again, then we have the Spirit of God. But there are times when we are lifted up in the Spirit and blessed mightily in the Spirit. And we certainly need to know and benefit fully from the fact that that gift is given to us. There may be many gifts that we have received over the years. We don't even know where they are now. We haven't used them. We have been surplus to requirements. They've not been interesting to us. They might abide somewhere up in a roof space or in a drawer somewhere. We may have used them for a short time and then put them away and never really thought about them again. And then one day we might be looking for that very thing. Oh, I've got one of those somewhere. I can think of perhaps just a simple illustration of a yo-yo, which somebody may have had from years ago. And then they come back into vogue. And someone says, oh, I've got one of those. I used to have one of those when I was a child. And you hunt about for it. You haven't used it for years. But all of a sudden, now they're back in vogue, and perhaps your own child is wanting to buy one, and you want to get that out again and do the tricks that you did before. Of course, when you try, you can't do any of the tricks that you did before. But nevertheless, it's not been used for all of those years. You've forgotten about it. And can it not be that after being a Christian for some time, we become used to just being a Christian, and we're not really drawing on the power which the Lord has given to us? But the Lord is ready to give to us, and he is ready to give in abundance to us. And there is a readiness in deployment which we are not even drawing on, and we certainly need to be doing that. So the Heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. Again, if we turn back to John 16, to those verses that we read a little while ago, John 16, verse 23. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. And the Lord desires our joy to be full. It is a terminology which John uses, it occurs to me, just now, in 1 John and chapter 1, as he speaks about knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, and says, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled of the word of life. And he says in verse 3 then of 1 John 1, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. Not our fellowship was, but our fellowship with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. So this is a term which the apostle uses, that your joy may be full. And here, perhaps he has taken it from here. The Lord Jesus Christ has used that term. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. So there is something more. There might be a greater fullness of joy than that which you have, if we draw on that comfortable gift which the Lord has given us. In James chapter 4 and verse 2, we read of prayer. And in James 4 and 2, he is speaking about praying, and he is speaking about, well, If we read the context, which we don't really have time to do, but if we read the context, we would see what the result of not drawing on the Spirit is, and falling away, and it speaks of wars and fightings, and they come from the lusts that war in your members. And he goes on in verse 2, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts, or upon your passions. And so here we have not because we ask not. And going back to that thought of the yo-yo, well, we haven't used it for years. But then all of a sudden we have a need of the Spirit of God and His power, and then we come to Him. And we might think, well, is the Lord going to hear me? Since I've not asked Him and not really been interested for a long time. And when we think of that last verse that we read together, Isaiah 63:10, which we'll come to in a moment, they rebelled and vexed His Holy Spirit, therefore He was turned to be their enemy, and He fought against them. We might have that attitude toward the Lord. The Lord will not give to us because we have not consistently walked with Him. But we'll note that in just a moment. Secondly, then, a companion guide. In John 16, where we are, hopefully, still, and verse 13, which is actually the verses that we read earlier. I got confused because it was 23 and 24 and 13 and 14. But here we have 13 and 14. Howbeit, when the Spirit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. And He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are Mine, therefore said I, He shall take of Mine, and shall show it unto you. So here we have this guide. It is He who will guide us. He will guide you into all truth. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. And, well, think. There are times when we do have the stirrings of the Holy Spirit within us. And we know that we should be praying. And we know that we ought to pick up the scriptures. And sometimes we put those understandings down because, well, there's other things to do. And we don't just have time at the moment. And we'll come back and do it later. And then that stirring of the Spirit within our hearts goes, and we never do. We need to remember that the Spirit of God is guiding us always to the Word and to prayer. It is always that propensity of His to push us and to draw us toward Christ. And when we understand that there is something that we need to do, we need to do it then. We need to do it straight away. We need to make every effort to come into the Lord's presence as the Spirit moves us to come into His presence, that we might learn of Him, that we might be blessed of Him. He is our companion guide. He leads us, He guides us, He draws us, and He speaks that which is truth. He will guide you into all truth. And of course, truth comes in the Word and in prayer. It is in prayer often that the Lord challenges us and our understandings and our deceitful heart, and can show us where we are going wrong. We need to have that. And then finally, the consistent grace. And we've moved on from the companion guide very quickly, but I want to just consider with you this consistent grace. Isaiah and chapter 63. Isaiah 63. Just the one verse is given, but I want to go on a little bit further than that. In Isaiah 63 and verse 10. But they rebelled and vexed His Holy Spirit. Therefore He was turned to be their enemy and fought against them. This seems to be contrary to what we've been saying. But if you go back to verse 9, first of all, verse 8, sorry. For He said, surely they are My people, children that will not lie. So He was their Saviour. In all their affliction He was afflicted, and the angel of His presence saved them. In His love and in His pity He redeemed them, and He bare them, and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and vexed His Holy Spirit. Therefore He was turned to be their enemy, and He fought against them. Then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, "Where is he that brought them up out of the sea, with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit within him, that led them by the right hand of Moses with his glorious arm, dividing the waters before them, to make himself an everlasting name, that led them through the deep as a horse in the wilderness, that they should not stumble, and as a beast goeth down into the valley? The Spirit of the Lord caused him to rest. So didst thou lead thy people to make thyself a glorious name. Look down from heaven. Behold from the habitation of thy holiness and of thy glory. Where is thy zeal and thy strength, the sounding of thy bowels and of thy mercies toward me? Are they restrained? Doubtless thou art our father, though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not. Thou, O Lord, art our father, our Redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting. O Lord, why hast thou made us to err from thy ways, and hardened our heart from thy fear? Return for thy servant's sake. The tribes of thine inheritance, the people of thy holiness, have possessed it but a little while. Our adversaries have trodden down thy sanctuary. We are thine. Thou never bearest rule over them. They were not called by thy name. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence." And here we have the prayer then of Isaiah. He's saying, Lord, you turned against your people because they vexed your Holy Spirit, but remember. And on the basis of their salvation and of all that he had done for them before, he says, "Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down." And so here is a consistent grace. The Lord saves a soul. He remains with them. We rebel. We vex the Holy Spirit. He fights against us, but he doesn't forget us and he doesn't forsake us. And if we turn to him and call upon him and ask him, as we have read from the New Testament, then he will remember us and he will draw near to us and draw us near to him. The prophet asks the question in verse 17, "O Lord, why hast thou made us to err from thy ways and hardened our heart from thy fear? Return for thy servant's sake." And we might interpret that as saying, well, it's your fault, Lord, because you hardened us and that's why we have been the way we were. But could it not also be interpreted in this way, that we have been made, God created us, and because of the fall we are now sinners? And we are consistently sinners. Isn't that the thought which is in the Apostle Paul's mind as he writes to the Romans in chapter 7 and says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" You see, we are made, not made to err, but we are made to err. God doesn't make us err, but we are made in such a way that we can err. And because we are made in such a way that we can err, and because mankind has erred, then we continue down that path. We have been made in that way. And here is a recognition of the fact that we are sinners. Basically, that's what is being said here. We are sinners. We are weak. We fail. And of course, it's for that very reason that the Lord Jesus Christ is our Saviour, because we were unable to save ourselves. Not only didn't we have the desire, but we didn't have the capacity or the power. And when, if it was left to our strength, if it was left to our abilities, then we would all be lost. And so there is the dependence of the children of Israel here upon the Lord. It was he who brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. It was he who brought them up out of the sea. It was he who delivered them through the wilderness. It was he whose hand had been upon them. And the prophet is now acknowledging, we need thee. We need thee. And if we can just maintain that understanding the whole time, perhaps we wouldn't be so apt to vex his Holy Spirit. But we would be seeking him the whole time. And we need that recognition that we are to be very aware of our sinful nature and of the deceitful heart which we have within us, to draw us away from Christ. Therefore, it's important to discipline ourselves to pray, discipline ourselves to read, and to draw nigh to him and seek him. He has given us a comforter. He has given us a help. He has given us a strengthener. He has given us one who is our advocate. He is ready to deploy great power on our behalf. He says to us, seek me and I will be found of thee. And we are here tonight in the prayer meeting. Let's just do exactly that and seek him. He is our guide. He has brought us to a place of prayer to understand the importance of prayer. Let's use it and let's call upon his name for his glory.